I'm well. How you doing, Joe?
Doing well, thank you. The air conditioning's working, so we're good here.
I don't know how they did it years ago. We've talked about that before. Mornings like this, just get out of the shower and you dry off and you're still all dripping.
Exactly. It is the dog days of August now.
That's right. That's right.
Speaking of weather, what's the city doing to prepare for Isaias?
Well, with Public Works Department does a real good job in preparations. You get the various divisions within this, within Public Works, with the highway, sewer, water, drain. So in storms like this, it's the drain department that's extremely busy, making sure, checking all the tide gates. I know we got a full moon coming in along with the water, but as I understand it, the worst for the coast is supposed to be the south side. So that makes me a little bit feel a little bit better, because we got all that SeaWorld work going underway along C Street and Adams Shore area, and so that could be a little bit vulnerable if it was at northeast side, So, but they do a good job on all these events. We get a lot of tide gates, the duckbill ones, the manual ones, the automatic ones, but sometimes things get jammed in them. They have to check to make sure they're working properly so that the seawater isn't flowing back in. It's designed to take the water out, not to bring it in. So that's the key part of what they look for. So then, of course, you got, those underlying, those neighborhoods that are, susceptible usually to heavy rain, and so they'll have pumps ready to go on those certain neighborhoods, as they always do. So it's routine to them, Weather may not be routine to us in some ways, but these events, but it's routine to them, and they do a nice job.
Looks like the bigger impact might be from the winds around here, so I'm guessing some tree issues, some power issues could be a possibility.
Indeed. Department of Natural Resources, the Park and Forestry side of Commissioner Murphy, that team, they're prepared as well. They got a good system in place. Although we don't have, certainly, as you know, my former life was the park director, and did that for 12 years before serving as mayor. And we had a stretch there of some real tough hurricanes and storms, and we had a lot of those big old silver maples through different parts of the city, particularly in the Wollaston area. And we used to have those fall on homes and cars. I mean, they made a huge mess and interruption. We don't have those issues as much. It's more minor. Sometimes they're private trees falling on the public way. But they're on top of it. And, we work well with NGRID and making sure that we're coordinating if there's power outages and so forth. So, we're on it as best we can. We could use the rain, I'll tell you that. Everything is dry.
It is.
We could use some water.
Yeah, the ground is compacted. The grass is all crunchy. So it's definitely in a drought situation for sure.
Yes.
Can we talk a little bit, Mayor, about the search for a new school superintendent? We're now down to three finalists, and interviews begin this evening.
That's correct. And the search committee has done a nice job. Frank Santoro, I asked him to chair that. We put together, I thought, a pretty good group of people. And their job was to select, whittle down, if you will, all the applicants and forward us names, us being the school committee. They've done that. They hit forward us four names, three outside external candidates and one internal candidate. And since that time, one of the external candidates has withdrawn from the process. So it's now a total of three, with two exterior, or external rather, and then one internal. So tonight is the first one, and I look forward to the process. I'm looking forward to getting through the process, and I'm looking forward to moving on. The school system is facing a lot of challenges right now, and whether it's reopening, whether it's the racial injustice issues, a lot happening right now, and so we need it. We need a superintendent in place to continue the stability and continuity we have.
What is the actual process now for making an appointment?
Well, at the end, it's a vote of the school committee.
Okay.
So each of the interviews will be public by the school committee with the individual candidate. Each school committee member will have 10 minutes max to ask questions. The candidate will have a 5-minute opening and a 5-minute closing. And then upon the completion of the interviews, the committee will come together and take a vote.
Okay. And right now, I know the timeline is hope for August 14th for that vote to be taken. Is that right?
That's correct. Friday evening. Yep.
Okay. And after that point, what happens?
After that, it's negotiating the contract.
Okay. And is there a backup in place in case the candidate, for some reason, can't take the job or doesn't want the job or can't come to an agreement?
Well, I mean, I got to be careful how I word this, but,
yeah.
You know, we have had a deputy superintendent for a lot of years who's been doing the job in the interim basis. We haven't missed a beat.
Mm-hmm.
Him and the superintendent leadership team have done outstanding work. So, you know, if he pulled out, I'd be very concerned,
mm-hmm.
very concerned. But if the others chose not to or pull out, whatever, I'd be very comfortable with our deputy right now. He's on top of all the issues. He was HR director before he was deputy superintendent. He's a school committee member. He knows the system backward and forward, knows the people, knows the leadership. Knows how to get it done, and he's a guy, a man of integrity. So I guess you know where I'm leaning, but if something should occur with the other candidates, then he certainly has all the capability and credibility, I think, to continue on as the permanent mm-hmm. superintendent. But we'll see how the interviews go, see how you know, some of my colleagues feel about it. You may know, as when I was talking about this in the spring, I had suggestion we do a one-year interim
mm-hmm.
To give us a little bit of time to figure this all out. And, you know, looking back, I think my colleagues would have done that because of all the other issues we're dealing with right now. We've had more school committee meetings in 3 months than I think we've had in 3 years.
Yep, I think you're right.
dealing with a number of these issues. So, we'll get through it. A lot of work's been done, and I certainly don't want to dismiss any of the work done by the search committee.
Mm-hmm.
We've had some, obviously, a number of candidates apply, and you know, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I think there were 20 applicants at the outset.
Yeah, probably was in that range for sure. And then you got to weed through it and see who's really got the background, minimum background necessary to take the job. And search committee did, you know, threw some out right out of the box. Then, mm-hmm. of course, they went through the interviewing process and whittled it down further and then forwarded the names to the full school committee.
Sure. Does it have to be a unanimous vote, Mayor, or just
No. Simple majority.
Okay. Very good. Whoever is selected will be faced with the daunting task of reopening school during the pandemic. What's the current status of that?
Give you an answer now, and you can ask me 2 o'clock today, and there might be a different answer.
I know.
I mean,
I know.
It's a moving target. I keep saying that, and there's a lot of issues. There's a lot of interests. There's a lot of opinions. Many opinions. I think it would be easier if it was if the feelings out there, both from the medical side and others, that were a little bit more consistent. But you know, there's different feelings about how to reopen, and you know, the distancing and the social distancing, masks, no masks, you know, HVA systems, how that will have an impact.
Yep.
On and on. I mean, it's, you know, we've got some old buildings that will be a challenge to meet the social distancing piece, because we've got a lot of kids in some of these buildings. There's some other buildings that probably could meet it. There's other buildings that have, you know, obviously fairly new HVAC systems that bring in, have a nice exchange system, bringing in fresh air and, you know, cycling it through. So, you know, public buildings, for example, is looking at every school building right now on the whole issue of HVAC and exhaust air and mm-hmm. intake, and how can we make sure that we're bringing in plenty of fresh air and it's getting exchanged in the building? That's just one piece. That's public buildings. So, you know, certainly Kevin Mulvey and his team have been looking at, along with the principals and everybody, every size of classroom, gymnasium, cafeterias. How can we create new classrooms so we're splitting the kids up to meet the social distancing requirements? This is a real tall task, Joe.
Yep.
And I know in the surveys it's pretty split up. So, you know, there's a third that want to go fully back. There's a third that don't want to go back at all. There's a third that want to go back on a hybrid way.
Right.
And so no matter what we do, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be unhappy
yeah.
with the decisions. But let me say this, that I know I can speak for my colleagues that, you know, we are working very hard with the superintendent's team to make the best decisions with the best information we have. You know, safety of the kids is first. And, we lost a spring semester, though there was some virtual learning going on. You know, we don't want to impact these kids in a negative way for their whole future by having their development interrupted. So it's a challenge. It's difficult. And of course, you know, I'm talking about the kids, but there's also the other side of the safety of all the staff and teachers and employees who, you know, some of them may be in, you know, certain situations with their own health that could be susceptible. They could have immune systems that are weakened because of other diseases or what have you. So it's a complicated issue, and we're working it. Yeah. We're working it.
I guess folks are wondering when they will know, you know, what will happen. What's the timeline?
Well, there'll be a heavy discussion tomorrow night.
Okay.
And there'll probably be one more vote before the summer starts. The state could override us, by the way.
They could come in
and say, okay, we're going to do this statewide. And certainly Department of Secondary Education has a lot to say about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Ruth Jones will be weighing in. We've got other medical experts weighing in. Stay tuned is all I can say.
Yeah. I know that state did allow for a delayed opening till September 14th. Will Quincy abide by that, do you think?
Well, yeah, we were... they're suggesting a late opening. For us, it's only like a 6-day delay from where we were at. Some people, it's a 10-day delay.
Right.
I think that makes some sense.
Okay.
Hopefully, that'll give us a chance to probably want to take a deep breath and see if we can work this through.
Okay. And finally, Mayor, there's a new Yaku in town.
There is indeed.
Yeah. I'm sorry?
A newly closed, same old Yaku, but
same
looks
Yaku.
A little different.
I think I just saw a pig fly by. I never thought I'd see it in my lifetime. Tell us about the process of changing the North Quincy High mascot, if you could.
Sure. Well, as you know, this has been an issue that has come up from time to time over the last several decades, actually. I remember the 90s, it was very contentious, and the Department of Justice came in and looked at the whole issue, and we had folks from you know, various Indian tribes, that's what they were called at the time, indigenous people, we call them today, you know, that weighed in on this. A number of them were for it at the time. So, you know, it comes up every so often. Dr. Acubi and I have had some discussions, and I know he's had discussions with a lot of people, and we started talking a couple of years ago, and then the artist that drew the original Yaku, which was a classmate of his, Peter Fredrickson, that suggested to Dr. Cubian a few years back that maybe it's time we look at a different image. And there's such tradition at North, and there's such a strong feeling for that character.
Mm-hmm.
Not because it's just a character, but what it stood for and having Dr. Cubian associated with it. He's an unbelievable person that's just been giving and giving and giving over the years for people, and just one of the most amazing human beings you'd meet. And so there's a group out there that don't want to see any change, but... So I'm pleased that Dr. Acubian felt it was time to take a good look at it. And I think the new look is pretty cool. I mean, you know, it speaks to our history as a city. The Patriots, the Patriot look with the colonial outfit. It's the same old Yaku, no facelift, no touching up. He still looks the same. He looks like he's persevering through it all, as did the Patriots. You know, and we kiddingly said, no Patriots, no president. So... You've got one school that's the president's, one school that, whether it's called the Patriots, will be up to the Rob Shaw and the school community. But I know that Mr. Shaw has embraced the new image.
Hmm.
I think we all believe and we all know that there was no intention of the old image to really have any negative effect on anybody, not to offend anybody. But, you know, this day and age, people are easily offended. I think if you didn't go to North and you step back and you looked at the image, perhaps it could be perceived as problematic for some, and I think I give Dr. Cuban a lot of credit for looking at that and saying, okay, it's time we take a look at it, it's time we make a change. And so I'm proud to stand with him and the community. I hope that the North Quincy High community will see the wisdom in it and accept it.
What was the mascot before Yaku, do you know?
There was no mascot.
Oh, okay.
And that was part of the issue. At the time, in 1957, it was the Red Raiders, but there was no mascot.
Okay.
So that's the student body got together with Peter Fredrickson, who was a great artist, and said, can you come up with something? And mm-hmm. He asked Alan Yacubian to be his model.
Oh, I see. Okay.
and that's what happened. That's because at the time, there were other Red Raiders. Watertown was Red Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
Four or five other communities that had Red Raiders, and the Yaku kind of distinguished North from the others.
I see.
And So that's the story, you know.
Interesting. Okay. Does that need a vote by the school committee, or is that up to the community?
It does not.
No.
I'm just saying that it's come up to the school committee because people have raised it as an issue.
Yeah.
But in my memory and my recollection, we've never voted on any school mascot. I mean, there's a number of schools that have mascots, mm-hmm. Penguins at Parker, you know, the Admirals at Atlantic, the Eagles at Southwest.
Mm-hmm.
School committee never voted on that. It was a case of people being offended by it, bringing it to the school committee's attention.
I see.
That was looking at the Yaku. So it's really, it's up to the North Quincy High community, the principal, and whether he'll bring some of the student leaders together. And, you know, there's a chance he could keep Raiders. I mean, mm-hmm. Red is gone. There's a negative connotation with Red.
Mm-hmm.
That's gone. But one could argue that, you know, the Colonials, the Patriots, they're also Raiders in some ways. So if the student body wanted to do that, I suppose that's open. The beauty of it is they can, just like they have in the past, you know, I don't know if you've seen the image, Joe, but you can take the jacket off and put a football shirt on it or a volleyball shirt on it. You can put a basketball under his arm.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bunch of things you can do with it and adjust to whatever sport or whatever event may be at North Quincy High. That's the beauty of it. You know, it's still the same guy, still Mr. Yaku, and, you know, stood for excellence and hard work and perseverance and all those things, and I think that spirit will continue. So he's evolved. He's got a different look to him.
I like the tri-corner hat. Very, very colonial.
Yeah, indeed. It speaks to our city's history, really, you know?
Absolutely.
Some people may not like that history, but it's our history.
Thanks for your time, Mayor.
My pleasure, Joe. Have a good one.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.